Baptism. When we start a new year or a new job, we ready ourselves for the next adventure. We determine to put our best foot forward, giving up the old ways which haven't worked well for us and implementing new ways that we hope will improve our situations. We go on a diet to feel and look better. We take courses to increase our skills. We attend Bible studies to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. They're all great things, but I want to suggest something else for us today. Once again, we can look to Jesus for guidance. When it came for him to start his public ministry, he visited his cousin John the Baptist, who was teaching and baptizing in the wilderness. John's was a message of repentance, and when people confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Did Jesus need to repent of anything? Of course not. He was the perfect Son of God, but he explained, "This should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." His decision to be baptized was to illustrate our need for baptism as well. But what exactly is baptism, and what does it do for us? In the case of Jesus, he was showing that when you begin a new life, you deliberately get rid of the old. You wash yourself clean of your old ways. It's like getting rid of those negative ways of thinking and acting that separated you from God and others and kept you from experiencing the peace and purpose that God has planned for your life. Some of those negative things might be thinking of your life as meaningless, that nothing good will ever happen to you, that no one really cares about you, or if you want something worthwhile for your life, you've got to do it yourself. All those thoughts set God aside and make you think less or more of yourself than you should. If you act on those thoughts, you'll always veer onto a path of pain and destruction, for you've cut God out of your life. Repentance changes all of that. It recognizes that you've been going the wrong way and that in ignoring or denying God, you rejected his solution to every problem. The perfect love that brings meaning and value to your life. He's the hallelujah chorus of a resurrected life. What does this mean as we start our new year? Well, we need to get rid of our old ways of doing things that didn't work out for our good. We don't need to just try something new. We need to be renewed. Paul told the Ephesians to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He repeats this to the Colossians, saying, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's in this way that he can renew our strength and guide us along right paths which bring honor to his name. And if he says it, beloved, then we can do it. Thus, we begin with a baptism of repentance. And I encourage you that if you've not yet been baptized, then check out a great church that believes in water baptism and practices it. Let's look at Jesus when he was baptized. We're told, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. There's so much happening here. The heavens were opened. Revelation. We step into the Holy of Holies made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews reports we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way. Next, the Spirit of God settled on him, empowerment, as we receive power to accomplish the good works that he's planned for us. The water signifies cleansing, but the Spirit actualizes the new life, attitudes, and actions in a person. And it's important that if we truly want to do something new this year, that we ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells the Ephesians to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, making music to the Lord in our hearts. Just as a river needs to keep flowing for the water to be fresh, even so we must keep the river of life flowing within us to be renewed in the Spirit. Otherwise, we'll be like the Dead Sea in which there's no fresh water flowing and we'll be stagnant. That's why Jesus calls out to the crowd, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Finally, we see a voice from heaven declaring, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." This is identification. God declares who we are, as Paul tells the Romans. His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. We belong to him and cry out, "Abba, Father," for he's adopted us as his own. We are not alone and nameless, but are called by his name and are his children forever. This baptism in the Spirit reveals our Heavenly Father, empowers us to serve him, and identifies us as his child living in and for his kingdom. But it also prepares us for the spiritual battle ahead. This year ahead won't be without its challenges. Difficulties will come in all shapes and forms, and we have to be ready for them. Jesus was. After his baptism, the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. Our enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking those he may devour. And just like a real lion who looks for the weak and isolated to prey upon, so does Satan. If we allow ourselves to become spiritually weak by forgetting to read the word, pray, or attend services, then the enemy can pick us off. Further, if we don't arm ourselves with the weapons of warfare, we won't have God's power to resist the devil. Belt of truth, body armor of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit are weapons we need to use to fight against our enemy. And don't be surprised when the attacks come, for they will. But we have a Savior who's defeated our enemy and has made his overwhelming conquerors to do the same. For nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And we will still endure suffering, beloved. For Jesus warned his disciples, particularly those who desired elevated positions in his kingdom, "Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" They promised Jesus they could, completely unaware of what he would endure. And he assured them that they would indeed drink from his bitter cup and be baptized with his baptism of suffering. And so we need to be ready also, not knowing who, what, when, or how it might come, but being prepared nonetheless, for Jesus intends on setting the world on fire. We're the kindling to make that happen, and the Holy Spirit is the match. So let's be ready to have our faith tested. As James tells his readers, you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This new year is a new race, which we must run with endurance by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Jesus Christ wants us to keep being filled with the Spirit to prepare us for the ministry he has called us to complete. And one of the ways that we can be empowered for ministry is by keeping ourselves united in the Spirit, working together in peace. In this way, each of our spiritual gifts will be used to bring glory to God, strengthen the church, and reach the unsaved. As Paul told the Galatians, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes." So therefore, let's put on Christ. In this way, we will be fully equipped for what this new year has for us, and with God within us, we cannot fail. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.